Well, good morning, members, guests here today. It's great to be with you all this beautiful Sunday morning, right? It's finally feeling like fall, y'all. The flannel shirts have come out of their winter hiding in the closet. The mothballs are dusted off. It's the most wonderful time of the year, amen? Amen. Unless you like summer, but, you know. Anyway, so today is in this gospel culture series, I get to discuss something that I know, like, I can be guilty of. Not doing, especially in my early years of being a Christian, and that is living a gospel-focused, thankful life. All right, so we are about a month away from Thanksgiving. Social media is about to blow up every day with "Let's share something we're thankful for." Last year, Mark Zuckerberg gave Facebook employees 3 extra days off around Thanksgiving. I bet they were thankful. But oftentimes, we keep our thankfulness pretty surface level. Keep it health-based, possession-based, family-based, friend-based, situational-based, hashtag blessed. I don't want you to think that that it's wrong to be thankful for those things when they are, and most times, good things, especially if at times in your life you have been without them. You may be more thankful for those things, but as believers, I don't want us to think that the thing we should be most thanking God for is our health, wealth, and happiness. Because if we only serve a God that the best he can do for us is to supply us with the things that will go out of style, turn to dust, or eventually die, that's not a God worth serving. And it's not the best thing that our God, Big G, has done for us. I want us to ponder and consider today, if we live a life of thankfulness as Christians, and what is it that we are most thankful for? Does our life look like one that is thankful, or one that looks like we feel we are owed something, or we're missing out on something else? So today's text is Colossians 2, 6 through 7. It should be on the screen. All right, let's read it out loud together, shall we? Ready? All right. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." We have in this section of scripture five, it's fluctuated as I got deeper in this section to this text, to go over and break down step by step. So the first one out of the gate is the whole reason we're here, why we reach this amazing crescendo of the text that ends in thanksgiving. It starts out with the gospel. "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord." The "therefore" statements in the Bible are really growing on me as I've read through this. The word "therefore" is seen in the Bible several places, and what is pointing you to a lot of times is a statement or even an argument or laying out of facts before we get to the next point. So it's a phrase or a word I hadn't really thought a lot about or even researched a lot before going over this text in depth. But I think "therefore" statements has the same drawing attention to scripture as the "but God" verses. What "therefore" is linking in the Bible is oftentimes is a truth about God or a truth about a situation. And because of that, here's what God is doing or will do or even has done. The verses leading up to our text today in Colossians, Paul is talking about struggles. He's talking about knowledge in Christ. Paul is saying, be firm in Christ. Why? To these people, because "therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord." Let's think about the statement, the gospel, in just a few words. You know these truths about Jesus. "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord," Paul is saying, hey, like, remember, when these things and these hurdles come about, remember you received Christ Jesus the Lord. And because of that, everything changes. Like, everything. It changes our outlook on things. First off, it changes how we spend our time, as we will go over here in a little bit. It changes our identity, and it changes what we are ultimately giving thanks to. Those that are here today that are believers, we, like the recipients of Paul's letter, have all received Christ Jesus the Lord, received him, and he saved us from our sins. If we aren't ultimately most thankful for the fact that Christ saved us, we need to reexamine what we claim to believe. Even though our sins have been against a holy and righteous God, that in his rightful wrath he should have sent us to the spot reserved for us in hell, but instead he sent Jesus his son to take the punishment for our sins by dying on the cross, rising 3 days later, that we can have fellowship with God the Father through the only Son, that with the Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sins to the point where we repent of our sins and turn to Christ to live a life that pleases him. Amen. If the truth of the gospel, the good news that we don't have to be enemies of God, that doesn't bring us as professing believers to our knees in thankfulness, then something is off. I'm afraid the lack of focusing on Christ and what he has done for us can sometimes lead us to not thinking that our sins against God were ever that big of a deal. And if we think the way that we cheapen Christ and what he did for us, if we think that way. What we also see in this first verse of today's text is that we as believers received Christ. So when we receive him, what do we not do? Well, we didn't work for him. We didn't earn him. We didn't stand out as lovable creatures. Instead, the free gift of salvation was gifted to us. I was reading over a book this week where it said, what an overwhelming thing to think about that God chose to love me. Praise God that he has revealed himself, Christ the Savior, to us, and that we as believers have received that. Amen? So if you're sitting there today and you know that you aren't saved, or you know you aren't putting on, or know that you are putting on a Sunday face and not really giving your life over to Christ, I urge you now to do so where you sit. It'll be something you will always, always give thanks for. The verse also lays out, as the Bible does again and again, who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Lord. So Christ is not his last name, is that he is the appointed one to save people from their sins. So in youth group, we're going through the book of Matthew, shameless promotion for youth group real quick. We're meeting at 6. Originally, it's going to be in my parents' house, but I don't think that's going to happen with the rain, so we'll probably meet at my and Katie's house. We'll confirm that here in a little bit. So we're going to do a hot dog and s'more roast, maybe modified. So if you have a youth that may be interested in coming or need a ride, please let us know. I love how in Matthew, as we're going over in youth, starts out by laying out the genealogy of Jesus and how it comes from such a wide group of people, how his coming was foretold, how Jesus Christ's life and ministry again and again was proven by the fulfilled prophecies, that as it says in Matthew, he came to save the people from their sins. My sins and yours, receive him today. So step one of our thankfulness is holding on tight to the gospel, as we see in the first part of today's scripture, to remember Christ with everything is the starting point. So first part of today's text, we'll review it again. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, the second point is, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So how does walking with Christ ultimately lead us to a thankful life? Well, in short, Christ gives himself to us. Believers, we serve a God that not only gave himself to us as a sacrificial servant to save us from our sins, he allows us to have fellowship with him and learn more about him. So verses in the Bible remind us that God's knowledge and wisdom and knowing him more abundantly is available to us. But more practically speaking, when we say walk in Christ, what does that look like and how does that lean us to live a more gospel-centered, thankful life? So walk in Christ, being rooted up and built up in him and established in the faith, well, that takes time. When you think about relationships in your life that you have a lot of time invested in, be it your spouse, close friend, family member, what did you do to grow that relationship, right? Well, like you spent a lot of time with that person. If it's family growing up, sometimes spent time with them against your will. Maybe spending a lot of time with that person, you know the best about that person and probably the worst about that person. You love them, you know them, and you would do a lot of sacrificial things for them. And at some point, they probably let you down a time or two. And you have probably done the same to them. But when we walk in Christ, when we know him more, the more amazing he becomes in our lives. It's a relationship where we learn only more about love, about care, about sacrifice. It's where we are the only person in this relationship where we have offended the other and he still loves us and took the wrath for us. Where Christ knows everything about us, yet still promises to never leave or forsake us. That's something to be thankful for. The Creator of all invites us in to know him more. And the more we know Christ and walk in him and experience him, and love him more, the more overwhelming he becomes, and the more thankful we will be because of it. So how do we know him more? Well, starting with the Bible, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Well, simply put, we read the Bible. Even scriptures you may have read multiple times, I'm always amazed at how I learn new things when I simply read the Bible. Times in my life of non-regular Bible reading have never been beneficial. Bible reading can be a discipline not practiced well by Christians, but it is needed means to know Christ more. Don't just get your Bible knowledge from a few hours we gather here each week. Walk in Christ, and his words and truth will come out that make you more and more thankful for the salvation in your life. So how else do we walk in Christ and be rooted in him? We pray. But we don't just pray to acquire things, but to know him more. The more we know him, the more we'll pray with thankfulness and reverence for who he is and what he has done for us. I want to challenge you this week, especially in your prayer time, to first focus on speaking the truths of God in your prayers. Pray over his character, the promises of the Bible, and it will shape you from praying to only acquire things to being overwhelmed by him. So each week, at the end of the service, we'll do it this week, we pray the Lord's Prayer, and in it we repeat, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And what we're saying in that is basically saying, God, we want your will to be done in all aspects. So if we incorporate that into our daily prayer, saying, God, your will be done in this. God, you know what's best. God, you be glorified in this. Our hearts will turn to things of God and thankfulness for God, accomplishing his purpose and knowing him more deeply will result from that. I also encourage you to examine your prayer time with your family. I'd even noticed lately, the prayer time before meals, praying and thanking God for saving us wasn't always in there. It sometimes seems more natural to thank God for food and the day, but those things don't really matter. My sins aren't forgiven. So church, walk in Christ, rooted in Bible reading and prayer. But walking in Christ also calls us to do more. Not out of obligation, but out of love. We are submitting to his will, his commandments. Our obedience to Christ's commandments don't come from us trying to keep our salvation or gain favor. We obey because we love him. And as the Ligonier article I read states, and I think it's up on the screen here, or will be shortly, it reads, "Obedience to Jesus is a humble embracing of his way as we reflect on proclaim our gratitude for his salvation." The true Christian life is, first and foremost, a life of thanksgiving. So next point up is rooted and established in the faith leads to being thankful for what influences us. So other things besides Christ shouldn't have ultimate influence on us. So for this past week, the Howard household, we have a big framed chalkboard in our kitchen and dining room area, and we have different verses. We're up there, weeks to weeks that we discuss as family. This week we had this week's text written up there, and if you've ever been to our house and seen it, you know how terrible my handwriting is. But as Katie and I were going over this part with the kids, we talked about being rooted in what establishment means. If our faith is set on Christ, then it can't disappoint us, because we will want our lives to reflect Christ and be for his glory. The main thing we talked about is what we set ourselves in or what influences us. If we as believers root and establish ourselves in things of the world, those things will disappoint us and don't leave us very thankful. If we establish our identity in our work, money, family, friends, self-satisfaction, those things will never fully fulfill us. This is why to live a life that abounds in thanksgiving, it has to be rooted in Christ. Faith is what we are hoping for that Christ guarantees. The Bible is filled with faith passages. The apostles asked Jesus to increase their faith. We are told to ask for things, to pray in faith. We have been saved through faith, not of our own doing. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What we are as believers are ultimately putting our faith in is that God came to his people to save us. Now, circling back to a minute ago when we talked about prayer, cover it with thanks for the faith that God has given us. I'm not sure how else to say it, but praying and thanking God for saving me allows me to rest in the faith more and more. It's what we have as believers to hold on to as we are in this fallen world. That ultimately this places in our our home. In 2 Corinthians 5, it lays out how this place isn't our home and that our souls are groaning to be with him. But also says to walk by faith, not sight, and that it is our aim to please God is while we are here. I'm thankful that we serve a God that doesn't say that this world is the best he has to offer us as believers, that we have a faith that when we die or Christ returns, and he will return, he has said that he will claim those who are his, and we get to go be with him in heaven. I'm thankful for that, and honestly, looking forward to it too. The fact that we can put our faith in the perfect triune God, that through the Holy Spirit has sealed us, we can have faith that our salvation from our sins is guaranteed. Our faith will lead us to be thankful for the one who saved us. So, how do we maintain being rooted up and established in Christ? Well, just as you were taught. So this one lays heavy on me as an elder here at First Baptist Ellsbury. It's part of my task to give instruction, sound doctrine, and rebuke those that contradict it. Part of the hope is that this instruction given behind this pulpit draws out the truths of Scripture. It draws out the character of God. It shows his complete control and our unending need for him. That through sound teaching of the word, we will grow to know and love God more. And through that love, you will worship him and obey him. It's a wonderful thing that God has in his great design, assembles a church or a body of believers, lays it out so each member has gifts and abilities to build up each other and the church for the glory of God. And teaching of the word, so we are rooted and built up in Christ, is something that we as elders, and really anyone else that in a teaching position or influence in the church, have to take very seriously. Think about it, we as parents have to take that just as seriously in the home as we are commanded to teach our children the ways of God. What better way to root the young generation now than we teach them the ways of God, and then we teach them that we, as mature believers, are abounding in thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Think about it, church, we have influence on each other and the children here, if we like to admit it or not. And how we teach them and how we teach each other about the things of God is really important. Teaching these things should come first from the elders of a local church and through the intimate relationships we should have with each other in the body as God has designed. So in today's world, it's easier than ever to gain a knowledge of God through a wide variety of voices. There's no shortage of books, podcasts, online sermons where you can hear a lot of good or sometimes bad teaching. And God can use those means to save people. Like, I'm a big fan of Mark Dever, Jonathan Lehman, and others. But, like, you know what? Like, listening to those people, they're not tasked with caring for my soul like the elders are here. I can speak for Greg and Sam that the times we have together where the word of God is being preached is not just to entertain you. It's so you can know God better, so you will love him more, and come away from a sermon on fire with the Holy Spirit and live a life abounding in thanksgiving, because week after week, Christ crucified is preached. And the only good in us is because Christ saved us from our reserved space in hell, eternally separated from him. So I hope this time of teaching moves you in thankfulness, not because we are charismatic, eloquent speakers, but because the truths of the gospel stir in you and thanksgiving will come from that. So last part of this text is abounding in thanksgiving. We come to the, like I said earlier, the crescendo of these two verses. Think about it. Because we as believers have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, the gospel, the most important thing, we walk in Christ, we're rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as we and I were taught. Now we abound in thanksgiving. We have talked a lot about, in the first point, about why we are thankful. Remember again, because Christ died for our sins, took the punishment for them, and then rose from the dead. But practically speaking, like, what does abounding in thanksgiving look like? I think a good starting point to looking like we're thankful people is that we don't complain, right? You think about it, the Bible warns believers in several places to not grumble or complain. From the Israelites in the desert, the mention of it in places like Philippians, James, Ephesians, complaining people don't act happy or that anything good ever happens. It's a big mark of a believer versus the world. We are a people marked by thanksgiving because ultimately we understand our greatest need is that our fellowship with God was broken and now has been fixed by Christ. Like, if we're honest with ourselves, like, that's easier said than done, right? I'm not saying that we need to fake it or act like it's all sunshine and rainbows all day, every day. The Bible speaks of mourning. The Bible speaks of bearing burdens, and even Jesus wept. But bad situations that come about because we are sojourners in a sinful world shouldn't define how we abound in thanksgiving. We have to look at what may seem as bad things and respond to them like we actually believe that Christ died for our sins. So when the world sees us reacting differently to bad situations, they'll wonder what our hope and joy is in, and we can show them the cross. I mean, we can even show them James 1, where it says that we should have joy in trials of various kinds. Joy, not anger. Joy, not fear. Joy, not worry. Because we are abounding in thanksgiving to Christ. Think about it. How often has a change in your plans been to the glory of God? It may not seem as you're going through it, but on the other side, right? How often do upsets in your life also reveal your sin and increase your dependence on God? Think about it. The intensity of prayer, study, we're going through trials, right? There's no bad if it brings God glory. Like I said, I'm not saying I want us to paint on a fake smiles and respond to everything that we are doing fine when we are asked, when we are really far from doing fine. I don't want you to feel like I am minimizing past or current hurts. Like, it's been a rough year for a lot of us, if not all of us, right? Job issues, deaths in the family, to current major health issues, to loved ones, to relationship disappointments, and just general strife living in the sinful world. I'm not saying that those things need to get swept under the rug, and that we shouldn't lean on Christ and each other as we navigate those things. We certainly should. What I am saying is that our ultimate thankfulness to God does not depend on the outcome of how we think a situation should play out. Loved ones will pass, jobs will fail, relationships will falter, but God does not fail us as believers, and our ultimate thankfulness should be to Him no matter how things play out in our lives, because we are rooted in Him and we want His will to be done. We have opportunities daily in our interactions with unbelievers to show them that the circumstances of this world don't change our hope and thankfulness. I want to challenge especially the covenanted members of this body here today to seize opportunities in conversations to not complain, but to show thankfulness in Christ and to point people to our true hope. We probably all think of people that are super negative or people that are just happy, bubbly people all the time. What's great about being a believer is that we don't have to fake our thankfulness. Whether we have a gathering of members or church service, Sunday school, my prayer is that visitors or outsiders will see a group of people so happy and full of God's grace that it will shock them. That we aren't some weird social club that complains or gets down about who said what on Facebook or who the president is or gas prices or commodity prices, because our Savior is seated on His throne. Amen. And He has called us to look differently in this world. If I could add a hopeful slogan to the members of First Baptist Church, is that we are the jolliest bunch of Christians this side of heaven, because our abounding thankfulness is that we are saved because of the work of Christ, and we cannot contain our thankfulness anymore. John Calvin comments, and I believe this will be my last quote on the screen today. John Calvin says, "Ingratitude is very frequently the reason why we are deprived of the light of the gospel, as well as of other divine favors. Walking in thankfulness for salvation keeps us in the light of the gospel, which reminds us always how grateful to God we should be." So, church, I want to ask you, what are you most thankful for? Is it because you're holding fast to the gospel in which you were taught, or is it something else that will eventually fade away? Or are you here today and you know your sin has separated you from God? You still have a spot reserved for you in hell, separated from Him. But I have some good news that you can be thankful for. Christ died for your sins. He took your punishment. He can reconcile you back to God so you can have fellowship with Him. I call you to repent of your sins and turn to Him, and your life will abound in thanksgiving because your sins have also been forgiven. So that's you today. Don't delay. Please grab Sam, Greg, myself, or any of the other members. We'd love to talk to you after service. Let's close in prayer. God, we want to be just daily overwhelmed by the fact that you save sinners, and that the only good in us is because Christ is in us, and that when we think about things to be thankful for, Lord, we want to be thankful for the good things that you've given us, or the good things that are going on in our lives, but ultimately we don't serve those good things, because we know that the things of this world will fade away, that they will rust, that they will turn to dust, but you remain forever and ever. Lord, we pray that we would meditate daily on the fact that Christ came, that he took our punishment, that he died, and that he rose again, and a gift of salvation has been given to us, that we received Christ the Lord, and that we would be a people marked by thankfulness, that outsiders and unbelievers would see our joy and our thankfulness and ask, why is that? And that we would tell them it's because Christ saved us from our sins and our ultimate need was met. We pray that we would be a people that would abound in thanksgiving daily here in this church and outside in this community, and that we would share the joy of Christ crucified with all of those around us and not be ashamed of the gospel. We love you, Lord. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving all these people that are here today. We thank you for assembling this body, that we would just abound in thanksgiving, that we abound in zeal, and that we would be a city on a hill here at First Baptist Church, Ellsbury.